Well, thank you, Pastor David, and it is a joy to be back at Faith Bible Church. Last April, we had a chance to pop in, or at least I did, when I was down here for a meeting with ANAM, Association of North American Mission, and visited the fellowship here for the Sunday services. But I also want to thank you for sharing your pastor with Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension. He serves on our board, and his input and relationship to our ministry through board service and representation has been invaluable and helpful, and I appreciate the men on the board. Through the PowerPoint, I want to just kind of walk you through the ministry of Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension. Let me begin by simply saying this, that Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension is the end result of a merger that took place about 5 or 6 years ago from Rocky Mountain Bible Church Mission and Southwest Bible Church Mission. And so now we serve both of those areas. That's why he mentioned all the different states that are represented in our new merger fellowship. Okay. Let's see if I can get this to work now.
Which button?
I'm pushing the
right button. Is the question.
The right
it's
one?
This one goes forward, this one goes back.
I'm pushing the wrong button.
And this one is
the laser. He told me, but I wasn't pushing the arrow. I was pushing the buttons at the top. I probably screwed everything up, right? Who are we? Well, we are, again, Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension. We are associated with the ANAM, Association of North American Missions, which is a fellowship of missions within North America, and gives accountability and training and leadership development for mission directors and mission agencies. But primarily our relationship is with IFCA International. We are a church extension agency, an arm of the IFCA International for planting churches, and we help to present the Vision America church planting movement. Back in 2008, Vision America was introduced to IFCA as an emphasis of our fellowship of churches and pastors for planting churches here in the United States. And so we are a part of the implementation and the casting of the vision for Vision America throughout our fellowship of churches. There are some key aspects to our mission. When I came to the mission, I just was thinking through, all right, as a new director, what are some things that are going to be fundamental? Things are going to be the kind of parameters of our focus as a mission agency. And so we begin with our authority, which is the Scriptures, the Bible, God's truth in a pluralistic society. And I don't need to relate to you how important it is as a mission planning church to have as our authority God's revealed truth. It guides our methodology, it guides our philosophy, and it guides our practice for church planting. Our ministry is the church, God's instrument for reaching our society. I've often shared this, and so far I haven't been corrected. Maybe your pastor will be able to take me to task on this. But read through the New Testament, from the book of Matthew to the book of Revelation. And if you can find within that reading any other entity that the Lord Jesus Christ said he would build, I'd like you to show it to me. There's only one statement in all of the New Testament where Jesus Christ says he is going to build something. It's found in Matthew, right? I will build my church. We firmly believe that the church, the local assembly of God's redeemed people, is the instrument called out by God in his grace for reaching our society. And so as a church extension agency, we are, quote-unquote, a para-church agency. But we're not a para-church agency in an entity and into itself. Some of them are. We exist to serve and help the local church and to facilitate the multiplication of churches within our area of ministry. And then our goal, of course, is church planting, fulfilling the mandate of the gospel in our society. Within our fellowship of churches, there are other ministry initiatives. Vision America, I just talked about that. Vision World is the global mission outreach of IFCA International. Linked to Learn is a leadership development ministry of our Fellowship of Churches, and then Harvesters Church Evangelism. All of these are a part of the Fellowship of IFCA International as we serve one another in the ministries of these aspects of focus and initiatives. So what do? Well, RSBCE exists to plant Bible churches in the great Rocky Southwest region of the United States. If you look at this map, and I know that the dating of the map is almost 10 years old now, but this research was done by the American Church Research Project. The director of this research project I heard speak at a church planting conference in Denver a few years ago, and that's where I was introduced to his research. If you look at this map, it shows the percentage of the population attending an evangelical church on any given weekend in the year 2007. This focused primarily on our areas. Colorado is about 7%, just a little bit above. New Mexico is a little above 6%. Arizona is about 6%. Texas is 10%. Now, the reason why I show this map is twofold. Number one, it helps to visualize the need for multiplication of churches in our area. This is the percentage of people who attend any evangelical church on a given Sunday. Secondly, if I were representing a mission agency that was going to be serving overseas in a foreign field, and we're going to be going to Zambia or some other place, and the percentage of believers in that country was 5% or 6%, we wouldn't have any hesitation of saying there's a need for missionary enterprise in that country. What I want us to see is this. There is a great need for church planting and missionary enterprise within our own nation. When you look at the percentages here, in the entire map of the United States, if you go to the really dark areas, that's only between 14 and 20%. And so, in any location within America, more than 80% of the population are unchurched. Here is the growth or decline in percentages of the population attending an evangelical church from 2000 to 2007. And once again, you'll notice in New Mexico, there was a decline. Colorado, a slight increase. Utah had a slight increase. Arizona had a decline. And Texas had a decline. So this is the area that we serve right here. And so in that seven-year period, the decline of the percentage of population attending a church is represented in the area that we serve. So when does church planting take place? This would be a little bit of oversight of what we see happening within our mission agency. Church planting is a monumental task that demands commitment from many to see a common goal reached and a shared vision being fulfilled. Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension seeks to build partnerships, and that's a key word in our perspective, to build partnerships with local churches to facilitate evangelistic outreach ministries, Bible studies, special events for the purpose of church planting. We see ourselves in partnerships, not in competition with local churches as it relates to church planting. When local churches, missionary personnel, financial resources come together, that is when church planting begins to happen. Now notice the expression, it begins to happen. RSBCE works with local churches to assist them in their desire to see Bible churches started and brought to fruition to the glory of God in the advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So pray with us for the recruitment of church planting missionaries. One of our biggest objectives is to come alongside churches like Faith Bible Church and partner with them to help implement their vision for multiplication. But one of the challenges for local churches in implementing their vision for multiplication is personnel. And so we're praying that God will give us missionary pastors, missionary church planters, so we can partner together. And we'll see this in more detail in just a moment. So we can partner together to see your vision for multiplication reaching Albuquerque and surrounding area with the gospel of Christ. When these relationships happen, church planting is taking place. So where? Well, we've emphasized this already, but let me just share with you our active church plants. We have a Green River Bible Church over in Green River, Utah. Kingman Bible Church over in Kingman, Arizona with Jerry and Bobby Adams. The Severance Community Church up in Severance, Colorado. South Route Bible Church in Oak Creek, Colorado. Grace Bible Fellowship in Silt, Colorado. And Family Bible Church is a brand new church plant just getting started over in Chino Valley in Arizona with James and Megan Spann and their family. The personnel of RSBCE is the how of church planting. You can have a philosophy, you can have goals and objectives, but without people, they don't get realized, right? And so God has brought together some personnel to help us do the how of church planting. I mentioned earlier in 2009, my wife and I moved to the state of Colorado, and I assumed the role of being the director of Rocky Mountain Bible Church Mission, and then we worked through the merger process and became RSBCE. My wife, Helen, is our bookkeeper. She also works part-time as a church secretary for Inglewood Bible Church, and so she stays plenty busy not only taking care of me, but keeping books and helping run the church there at Inglewood in the office. But we're delighted that God has brought us, after 35 years of pastoral ministry, into this role of serving churches and the body of Christ for church planting. My predecessor was Jack Miriam and his dear wife, Sandy. They were the director of the mission for 17 years. They have now retired and moved to Evansville, Indiana. You might pray for them. They're a little older and facing some physical health issues. Jack has neuropathy and has problems feeling in his feet. His walking is difficult. He's no longer driving because of his neuropathy. He drove his van into his garage and not feeling the brake and gas pedal correctly. And so there's some health issues going on in their life. But pray for Jack and Sandy. But for 17 years, he served as the director of the mission. This is our board of directors, and again, I appreciate your pastor being a part of that. Our fellowship together twice a year is not only rich in the Lord, but it's encouraging to me as we cast vision together for the cause of church planting. Daryl and Jean Jessup serve as our mission representative down in Arizona. They live over in Buckeye. I put Phoenix there because but they actually live in Buckeye, and they help represent the mission down in the Arizona regional. Jerry and Bobby Adams. Jerry has been involved in church planting all of his ministry, starting in California. He was the director of Southwest Bible Church Mission for a while. Planted the church over in Lake Havasu, Bethany Bible Church, and then served there for 20-some years. Stepped down from that ministry because he wanted to plant one more church. And they moved to Kingman, Arizona, and have served as the church planters at Kingman Bible Church. Bobby has undergone some very challenging health issues. She had an aortic dissection, which is a difference from an aneurysm. Aneurysm, there's a ballooning in the vessel. Dissection, it means it begins to deteriorate on the inside, which could cause the same thing. Both of them cause ruptures and bleeding out very quickly. She's stabilized now. She's back in Kingman and regaining some of her health and strength again. Kirk and Paula Dunham serve as our missionary church planters in Green River, Utah, at Green River Bible Church. For a number of years, they served in the country of Nepal and then came back to the States. And Green River Bible Church is Kirk's home church. He grew up in that area. His dad, family ranched in that area, and so now they are serving the church as our missionary pastors. Stephen and Amanda Chapman are our missionary pastor and family in Silt, Colorado, and Silt is a byproduct, I'll put it that way, of church plants in Frisco, in Parachute, Colorado, and in Colburn. And so this is the great-granddaughter church of the church in Frisco, Rocky Mountain Bible Church. Phil and Carol Coleman are missionary church planters up in South Route, South Route Bible Church in Oak Creek. Phil is he's still working full-time, but he's retired from his original position. He was the director of maintenance in the coal field there, coal mine. Retired from that, took over the church, but to supplement his income, he's now serving in their security department to help supplement his income as a church planter there in Oak Creek. Kevin and Miranda Dietrich are our church planting pastors in Severance Community Church. Kevin is a graduate of Appalachian Bible College, and they came to Severance about 3 years ago and doing a wonderful work. The church is growing there. They're crowded in their little facility with their meeting. They're looking for a new place to fellowship in, to be a facility to meet their needs. They've almost doubled in attendance, and so we're praising God. Now, when you say that, that sounds really encouraging. But when you go from 13 to 26, that's still doubling. And we're asking God to continue to do that. In fact, our motto this next 2 years, I shared this at our mission retreat, 24 to double. 24 months to double attendance in our local church plants. So pray with them. It's just an emphasis on evangelism, reaching out to the community, asking God to bring into their numerical growth new converts that they're reaching through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Les and Nancy Gwynn served at Severance for a while. They're now retired, and he is a pastor at McCarroll Bible Church in Denver. James and Megan Spann just moved to the Chino Valley area. They are planting Family Bible Church. In August of this summer, they started their first Bible studies. They have a pretty good core group coming to that. About 12, 13 are coming to their home for their Bible studies, and they're praying that God will help them to launch Family Bible Church there in Chino Valley in the next few months. They came to our mission, and I asked them, where would you like to serve? And they said, we'd like to be in Arizona. And so we did some studies together. What brought them to Chino Valley? Employment. He's the IT personnel for the VA, and that's his full-time job. No, see, I said it backwards. That is his supporting job as a full-time church planter there in Chino Valley. Many of you might know Leonard Smith. Leonard Smith served down here in the Southwest Las Cruces for a number of years. He is retired now, living with his family. He moves from western Colorado to central Colorado to New Mexico, spending time with his family. But his wife passed away a couple of years ago, but Leonard is a dear brother. When he is in the Severance area, he has a son who lives in the Fort Collins area. He attends and fellowships at Severance Community Church and helps with that ministry. Church planting ministries. What does it look like to be a church planting ministry? Well, just like everything else in a church. Eldership training. This picture is taken when I was doing some eldership training for Grace Bible Church in Colburn. They have now graduated from the church. In fact, their pastor, Loyal May, serves on our board. But a part of graduation from the mission is local leadership training and preparation for elders and deacons. And so I spent several weekends going over and teaching leadership training classes for their elders as they were preparing for graduation. Worship services, a typical aspect of Sunday morning. Top picture, I had the privilege of preaching several times at Green River Bible Church over in Utah. Baptismal service. This bottom picture here is really interesting. Green River, Utah is a little oasis. When I say little, I mean it's small population-wise. Probably 300 or 400 people. It's an agricultural community. But you leave Grand Junction in Colorado, and you drive about 100 miles through nothing until you hit Green River. In Green River, there is a very strong Church of Latter-day Saints influence. The reason why this picture here of this baptism is so important to us is because this is in the river, the Green River. Public testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in this baptismal service. the man is underwater. You can't see him. But the man who is being baptized, or one of the men that was being baptized, has a business in Green River. And because of his baptism, his business is just about dried up. It is the influence of the LDS church, and his clientele was out of that circle of acquaintances. And when he made a public confession of faith in Christ through baptism, they just stopped using his services. And so these kind of things are very, very challenging to small churches and small communities as a church plant, where guys are trying to make a living, but because of the testimony of Jesus Christ now, they see their clientele drying up. This is in Green River, their new multi-purpose building. Had the privilege of being there for their dedication of that. Their older building at the bottom. This is at the dedication. Pastor Kirk welcoming and introducing the services. This building has already become a wonderful asset to their ministry there. This is Kevin Dietrich, licensing for ministry through McCarroll Bible Church, Awana Clubs, Horsemanship Bible Camp. See that cute gal riding that horse under that cowboy hat? Well, that's my granddaughter. She was out here visiting with us and had the privilege of taking her and her brother to Horsemanship Bible Camp. Again, Horsemanship Bible Camp, the young guy in the middle picture with the white horse with a cap on, that's her brother. That's my grandson. The gal, let's go to this one. You can see this one. The gal here, that's my oldest granddaughter. She came out a few years earlier for Horsemanship Bible Camp. She is now a freshman at Cedarville University. Grace Bible Fellowship in Silt, their very first launch Sunday. And then every year they have an outreach at the Garfield County Fair with their booth. These are just activities of planting churches. Worship service at Kingdom Bible Church in their recently acquired facility. And Pastor Jerry preparing for services. This past July, we had our mission retreat. And this was the group that came. Most everybody was able to make it, not 100%. But I want to share something with you, because I shared this with our missionaries. When I presented this idea in January to our board, I told our board, I really want to have a retreat, but I do not want the financial responsibility for the registrations to fall on the shoulders of the missionaries. Most of them are under-supported. They're working jobs to supplement their income. I said, I don't want to make it a financial strain for them to have to come to retreat. And so the board said, well, let's just see what God will do. Let's go ahead and plan the retreat. So we started moving ahead with that, and we put out some information about sponsorships for our missionaries to attend the retreat. The week before we left to go to the retreat, I was going through the financial status of where we were for the retreat. Every person in that picture was sponsored. Our missionaries, their children, their wives, and all of our board members and their wives that attended. Every person in that picture was sponsored to attend that retreat. And I praise God for that. Here's what I told our missionaries. I said, you were able to come because sponsorships were provided for you. But until I did the final tallies on our finances, I did not even realize this. I told them this. Do you think your board is behind you as a missionary? I said, they are 100%. Because every sponsorship that came for that retreat came through our board. Our men sacrificed personally and generously to sponsor that entire retreat. I appreciate our board members. They serve not because it's just something to sit on a board and be a board member. They serve because they're concerned about our missionaries. They're concerned about our church planning. They're concerned about the vision that we have for America and the Rocky Southwest for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we had a wonderful time. I had the privilege of doing some of the general sessions. And then Dan Fredericks, who also serves on our board, director of UIM, did sessions on the book of Titus as a church planning model. great time at our missions retreat, so we praise the Lord for that. Some of the fellowship time at our retreat, and of course, the wonderful meals that Twin Peaks Bible Camp served while we were there. I'm just going to put these up very quickly. Here are some opportunities that we need to be praying about. First of all, Dix Bible Church up in Dix, Nebraska. Their pastor passed away rather unexpectedly this past March. His wife had gone to a women's retreat. She came home and the house was dark. She walked in and thought her husband had gone to bed. So she walked into the bedroom and called and didn't see him in bed. So she turned to leave the bedroom and called out, "Virgil." No response. She turned the light on in the living room and there he was in his recliner chair, gone. They contacted us and they've asked us to help them as they look for a new pastor. A little church up on the prairies of Dix, Nebraska, Dix Bible Church. Pray with us that God would raise up a missionary pastor to come to that flock who's hurting with the death of their pastor and help them move forward for the cause of Christ and the outreach of the gospel. Christopher Creek Bible Church over in Arizona, their pastor had been there for a number of years, up in his 80s. He resigned, quote, retired, and they're looking for a pastor. They have asked Jeremy Jessup, who is the son of Daryl Jessup, to become their pastor. A small work, they cannot support him full time, and so Jeremy is making application to come under the mission at the request of the church to be able to raise some support and help supplement what they do for their salary. So pray with us as we process that application and work with Christopher Creek Bible Fellowship. In October, we'll be interviewing Matthew and Michelle Risikar. Our board has gone through their application and have recommended that we move ahead. And so in October, we'll be interviewing them. Pray for wisdom in placement. We need to place someone in Kingman to come alongside Jerry and Bobby and eventually assume that work. And so we're going to ask them to at least consider Kingman very strongly as a place of service if they come on board with RSBCE. But pray for wisdom as we interview them and they make decision regarding any invitation that would be extended to them to become a part of RSBCE. One of our concerns is for reaching out to the Hispanic population within the Great Rocky Southwest region. We've been in contact with Rio Grande Bible Institute. Representatives from Rio Grande were in Green River and saw the ministry needs there. Many of the laborers in the agricultural area in Green River are Hispanic. And there's quite a need for some help with Kirk and Paula. So we're praying that this young contact we've made with Ephraim Valencia Baca will materialize and we'll find our first God-given Hispanic, Spanish-speaking worker for RSBCE. So pray with us to that end as well. Some other personnel needs, I'll let you read through those as you would, but pray with us that God would just raise up the people that we need. Go back to the question, how is church planting taking place? It's through people. It's through personnel. It's through partnerships. And we're asking God to help us accommodate that and facilitate that for His glory and the advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sitting in your parking lot is the little Jeep Patriot that I am driving. For a number of years, the mission provided a little Buick Century, and that began to show its age and its wear. Had almost 200,000 miles on it. That's not astronomically large, but there's a lot of road miles on that car, and it was beginning to show its need to be replaced. And so I checked with our board, and we talked together, and they gave permission for us to purchase this on behalf of the mission. That is, the mission purchased the Jeep. But they put a little caveat on it. Now, board members do this, and they have every right to do so. They said, "Paul, you're the director of the mission. You're the one who benefits from using the mission vehicle. We want you to be safe and reliable in vehicle transportation when you're on the road, so we'll give you permission to purchase the vehicle, but you must raise the funds to replace the purchase price." And so we're asking God, We still have a ways to go. But we're asking God to meet this need. And what would it take to meet that need? It's really not all that large. 100 people or churches or combinations of people and churches throughout our entire constituency would give a one-time gift of $140. Our need would be met. So pray with us that God would enable us to see those funds replenished, because the board authorized taking those funds from other resources that are more designed to the goals of church planting. And we need to see that return and focus on being able to help finance and encourage financial support for our church planting projects. So pray with us to that end as well. Our contact information is there on the table. In the foyer, there's a lot of information. Pick up one of our prayer cards. Put it in a place where it will be a reminder to pray for Helen and I and for the ministry needs of RSBCE and our personnel. There are some flyers there, a couple that would be very helpful. One entitled Introducing Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension. And there's one there, Church Planting, a Pioneer Work. But pick some things up just to remind you to pray for us. And again, if we can partner with you in any way to implement goals and objectives for church planting here in the Roadrunner Regional, we'd love to do that. Some of you are probably aware of this. I know your pastor is. But 2 years ago, this coming November, I had a major accident and shattered my left ankle. From December of 2014 to December of 2015, I had 6 surgeries on my leg and ankle. And so I was out of commission for quite a while and not able to travel and be involved with our churches. And so getting back down into the Southwest Regional aspect of this ministry has been a joy and delight, part of my vision. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be here at Faith. We've got just a few minutes before we dismiss. I ran through a lot of material, but perhaps there's a question that comes to your heart and mind that wasn't addressed in the presentation. Anything at all? Any questions at all? Yes. Okay.
Suppose I wanted to start a church. Would I contact you and go from there?
Right. Yeah. There's probably 3 prongs to that, to my answer. First of all, church planting with our mission is facilitated by a group who asks us to come alongside of them. That would be like Dick's Bible Church up there. They're not really church planted, but they need assistance. But if there's a Severance community, there was a core group there in Severance, Colorado. They contacted our mission and said, would you help us launch a church? That's one aspect. So to answer your question, if you were to contact me and say, we'd like to be involved in seeing a church plant in maybe some community south of Albuquerque or whatever, that would be one avenue of starting to focus on that. The second avenue would be like James and Megan Spann. And they went in, I use the term cold turkey, they went in and said, we're here by the grace of God, for the glory of God, to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ and see a Bible-believing, Christ-honoring church planted here in the Chino Valley, because not that there aren't any other churches around, but there are a few, and then the ones that are really faithful to the Word of God and to the gospel are even fewer. And as I showed you in that one map, the population in any given community is 90 to 80% unchurched whatsoever. That's the second prong. The third prong would be where, and I'll use Faith Bible just as an example, where Faith Bible Church would say, we would like to do a sister church. And so would you come alongside of us as a mission agency and help us process the planning of a sister church? Now, that can be done in a number of ways. Most of the time, it means that there's a small core group that comes out of the mother church to become the core group of the sister church and help launch it. That's what happened in Silt. Grace Bible Church of Parachute had probably six or seven families out of their fellowship that committed themselves to becoming the core group to start Grace Bible Fellowship in Silt. And they left the mother church and moved to that new church plant. So that's, and then we supplied the missionary pastor, Stephen Amanda Chapman. So those are some of the avenues that take place in facilitating new church plants. Don't know if that answers your question specifically or not, but yeah. But if someone were to contact and say, you know, we're interested in starting a church plant, can you help us? First thing we would do is just get our visions together, do a demographic study, and then start from the ground scratch of making contacts and outreach into the community, and like they're doing in Chino Valley with evangelistic Bible studies. Yeah.
But the building itself, they rented from the Presbyterians for $1 a year.
Yeah.
You know, and several times the afternoon church that came in and went to church there kept wanting us to buy the building from them. And our pastor said, why? You know,
yeah.
$1 a year.
Yeah.
Why should we?
Right.
Yeah.
But there are a number of scenarios that can be become a part of the dynamics of the launching of a church plant. Yeah. Okay. Our time is gone. Any other questions? All right. Again, stop by the display area and pick up what literature. Do pick up a prayer card and pray for us. And thank you again for sharing your pastor with our ministry, and I appreciate his heartbeat for church planting. And we're praying and talking together so that my focus in the Roadrunner Regional can be, again, reestablished with our churches here and just see where God would lead us into planting churches up and down the corridor of 25 and across the state of New Mexico into West Texas.